Well, it's great to be here with you. And thank you for your warm welcome. It's a few years since we've been, 2019, I think it was. So a different venue, and great to see everyone here this morning, and great to join you with you in worship. So we're just going to share a little bit about where we're at with Sports Reach and where we've been in the last few years, and then Will's going to bring the Word of God to us. So I'll just pray, if that's okay. Father God, I thank you so much for this time together this morning, Lord. I thank you we can meet and gather freely with no fear of persecution, Father. I thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Father, for the plans that you have for this world. And Father, I thank you that even though there's tumult and wars and rumours of wars, that we can have peace because we know the one who gives peace, the one who gives life, the one who knows the beginning from the end, the Alpha, the Omega. Father, we worship you this morning. And I just pray, Father, as I share a little of what we've been doing with Sports Reach, I just pray, Lord, that it wouldn't be about Sports Reach, but it would be all about you. And Father, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good. So, do we want any lights off, or can you all see it okay? Is it okay? Right. Now, there might be some who are thinking, who is this woman at the front? So Will and I are from Bleasdale, which is about an hour's drive away, going up towards Preston. We live in the hills, we live on a farm, but we work around the world with an organisation called Sports Reach, and our motto is reaching the world for Christ through sport. And it's our privilege for the last 20-odd years to be working with Sports Reach, as well as a little bit of farming and bringing up four daughters. Since obviously we're here 4 years ago, there's been COVID. So the first part of 2020 was cancelling everything. Okay, we had a trip planned to Kenya, which cancelled. Trip planned to France, cancelled. Trip planned here, there and everywhere, cancelled. But thank the Lord, there were still so many opportunities during those lockdown months. And we saw the Lord very much at work. And now we are back in full flow and back around the world. And it's interesting, as of course Israel is in the news so much. We had the privilege this time last year to be in Israel. We were in Nazareth and we were in Bethlehem, and we were doing sport with children there, with Palestinian children, with Muslim children, with Christian children, in a Christian school in Bethlehem. Wonderful to be able to go to Israel and to share with the people there. And so it's very much on our hearts, everything that's going on over there now. And we have some good connections with people who do speak the truth. There's so much going on. So that was November last year, a year ago. In February this year, we were in Ecuador. We went over and worked with One Mission Society, and we were up in the hills and mountains in the Andes, places like Loja and Chaguapamba, and we were doing soccer camps with children. We built a football field, and everything, we just gather the children together and share Jesus with them. Bring a football, children come. Open the Word of God and they'll hear. Yeah. So we're making friends on the football and netball fields and courts, and we're sharing Jesus through sport. And it's a wonderful way. Everywhere you go, there's just children, you know, you take a football, they'll soon have a crowd, you'll soon have people who come, and you can make friends. Whichever team you support, sometimes you have to keep that quiet as well, haven't you? we were in Ecuador, and then we took a team back to Austria, working with a Bible school in Austria and sharing with the local teams there. Then we were over in France, sharing with the local teams in France and doing our own Bible devotions, doing team building and encouraging the young Christians who went with us. And we've also been over in Germany working at the Bible school there and doing a soccer camp for teenage Germans. And then we were in Kenya, and then we were in Malawi. And also in amongst all of that, we've done 10 soccer and netball schools this last year. And we have two leagues running currently as well. So it's busy times. It's very busy times. But I just want to share a little bit about our recent trips to Kenya and to Malawi. And then I'll hand over to Will. So thank you for your prayers, those who pray for us, firstly. So vital and so thankful to all who support us in prayer. It's a real privilege of ours to know that the people like yourselves praying, and we know the benefit of those prayers when we're out working amongst schools and wherever we go.
So we took a small team. We've been going to Kenya since 2004. So next year will be our 20th anniversary year of going. We worked with a couple of pastors in a couple of different areas, one in Unjuro, which is just about 4 hours away from Nairobi, and then one in a small place called Lumakanda, going up towards the Ugandan border. And I'll share a little bit what we're doing. If you've got any questions, please just shout up, or if I miss anything out. So it was just a small team of us who went, Will and myself, our daughter Ruth, who works full-time with us at Sports Reach, and then our pastor friend Mervyn France. I don't know if you've come across Mervyn. I should encourage you to come and get him to share. He's a wonderful guy, and his wife, and they have children's homes in many countries in the world. They are in Burma, in Thailand, in Nepal, in India. They do a wonderful work around the world. And they came with, Mervyn came with us to Kenya. First time he came with us was 2019. And then there's three young lads came with us. We've got Charlie, Jem and Joel. They'd never been over to Africa on mission before, and it was fantastic to see the team that we prayed about who to take. We invited them and they came along, and what a blessing it was to work with this team of guys over there. Now at Sports Reach, obviously football is quite a big part of what we do, and when we go over to places like Kenya, we take as much as we can with us. We had seven of us going, 46 kilos each, and we filled every little bit of luggage that we could with things like footballs, netballs, bibs and kit. So we've been given, over the last couple of months, we were given around 25 football kits from different teams. Some were new, some were used ones, but a privilege that we can package it all up, use every kilo and take it over and give it to the teams that we play with. So we packed it all up, we got it in the van, and we set off to the airport with all this kit with us. When you're going to Kenya, you need to take strong young men with you, shall we say. There's a lot of graft as well involved, and women are strong too. But when we went, we worked with Pastor Hudson in a place called Unjuro. And in 2019, when Pastor Mervyn came with us, he chatted with Pastor Hudson, and Hudson's vision was to build a school in this very poor area. And so Mervyn came back and prayed about it, shared with people about it, and the Lord provided money to build a school. And when we were over there, we were able to open a new building at the school. So the school started 3 years ago, and it now has 74 pupils. And it's actually in memory of my brother David Kelso. So David died of cancer just a few years ago, but the school was in his memory. So it's wonderful to be able to go and to cut the ribbon, open the school. We had tournaments there, but it's wonderful to see there's a church now meets in the school, and there are people coming in from the local community. It's a very poor community because it was there was a big timber yard that shut down. Now there's a lot of unemployment, there's a lot of drugs and alcohol, there's a lot of poverty, and the children were just on the streets. There was no schooling for them. So since the school's opened, there's been a whole change in the whole area, and there's a buzz about the place. There's hope in the place, and now there's a church meeting there, and people are coming in. Parents are seeing what the Lord is doing, and they're keen and they're interested. They're coming in, they're getting saved. And there's a lady who was an alcoholic, and she came, her children were in the school, she came to the church, she got saved, the Lord saved her from her addiction, and she's now worshipping the Lord there. So that's a very special place in my heart, being named after, in my memory of my brother. But also while we were with Hudson, we were doing tournaments, and we were able to give the kit. This is the England kit we were given. We've got England ladies kit we've been given, brand new Lionesses football kit, and John's Gospels that we gave them as well. And this was taken at the church. We bring the people together, we play the sport, and we tell them of the Lord. And many, many people respond so open and freely in Kenya to the gospel. During the week, we had 26 school assemblies, which is quite a lot. We had three every day before breakfast. We split into twos and went to three different schools before breakfast. So we're off at 6:30. The pastors would come and pick us up. Then we go out, we do a school assembly, and we're back at 8:30 for breakfast. So we had good morning, and then we'd all come back and report back on what had happened in the schools, and we shared the gospel. This is the 4 points. I don't know if you're familiar with the 4 points, that God loves us, that we've done wrong, Christ died for our sin, and what should our response be? And this is the one way that we bring the gospel across to the children and teachers in schools, and we saw hundreds, probably thousands of them, respond to the good news of the Lord. We also do a water pump drama, which Will is doing here. We have a little boy out who becomes the water pump and a little girl who pumps the water pump, but there's no water. There's no water. And they change the handle, we change the spout, we change the lid, still no water. But the problem's on the inside, and Will comes and cleans out the inside, gets a dirty rag out of the back of this little boy's shirt, but it's just an illustration that we can look fine on the outside, but it's the inside that God sees, and our sin needs to be dealt with so that we can come and have a right relationship with the Lord. And so just a little visuals that are fun, and that we can share the gospel in schools. And in the afternoons, we went to two more schools. So we joined together then. We drove for a couple of hours and we went into different schools. We did again the assembly, but then also we played sport with the young people. We gave them a sports kit so they would go very quickly, put their kit on and come out, and the players at football and players at netball, after we've shared Jesus with them and given them footballs and netballs as well. So it was very well received in the schools. This particular school was the biggest school that we went to, which is in a place called Lumakanda, with 1,500 children. And the football field was under repair, so they said, would we play volleyball? Well, it was the first time we've had sports reach volleyball, but they went down quite well. But it's just another way we use whatever we can to reach the crowds. And there are crowds when we gather together and play in tournaments. You could get 1,000 or 2,000 people coming to watch, and to be able to gather them together at the end and share with them is wonderful. So we're able to play the sport and give out the kit, and it's great because the pastors go with us. We're working with the pastors, with the churches. Pastor Amido, the main, where we do the main work, he actually came over to England to study at Cape Moray Bible School many years ago now, and he's gone back and he's got his own church, but he also church plants, and he oversees 22 churches now. So it's wonderful to work with him. And this is Amido on the left here with the number 21 England shirt there. He's not really a footballer, but he loves to see how football can reach many, many people with the gospel. And again, giving out the kits. And the pastors, when people respond to the gospel, the pastors are there to take names and numbers and to follow them up and to make sure that they're discipled. And we also did conferences. So Pastor Mervyn, who went with us, he would do, while we were out in the schools, he was teaching in the churches. And you see the pile of Bibles on the table. Before we went, Pastor Amido said, would you... I'm hoping to have maybe 400 people at the conference, travelling from many places, and some of them will be boarding, and it's going to be 4 days, and we're going to feed them and put them up, and all this expense. So he asked if there was any way we could provide Bibles for these people who were coming as an extra encouragement for them to come, as many of them don't have their own Bibles. And we were able to buy many Bibles. And it was wonderful. At the end of the week, there were hundreds in the conference, and many of them coming forward to receive their own Bible. It was a wonderful privilege that we've been able to help with that. We also, in the village of Lumakanda, this area up in the north, quite a rural area, we're going to the village. And in the town centre there, we set up a platform, and we would preach the gospel. And firstly, to gather the crowds, they get the worship group out, and they're singing and there's dancing around the streets, and there's many, many people gather, and then we can preach the word of God. And it was wonderful, actually, after this conference and after the open air crusade, there were people coming forward to receive the Lord, to be saved, and then followed up by the pastors. So that was wonderful. We also went into different churches. We split up again into ones and twos and went off into the churches on the Sunday morning to preach the word of God in the church, and encourage the locals and encourage the pastors too. There's some wonderful people out there serving the Lord. And so in 2019, which was the last time we were here, we were actually went to Kenya in 2019, and Pastor Amido had this big vision for building a school. So we've already heard of one school, which was closer to Nairobi, but this school up in rural Lumakanda was the vision of Pastor Amido, and he said he really had a vision to have a school that would be a Christian school and a retreat centre. So we prayed about it, and we've been able to help support this school and purchase the land in 2019 and built a little, there was a little tiny little classroom with seven children in 2019 when we went. But through the support of people over here, and we've been able to support the work, and there are now 118 children in the school. And each new year we get a new class. We've got a pre-primary one, pre-primary two, years 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And now we've just started to build a secondary school so that the children can stay on. So just in 4 years, it's amazing to see the Lord gave this vision and to see it come about like this. It's absolutely thrilling. And we're able to go and spend a day with, well, half a day with these children here. So many of the children, they're from this rural area, they're from broken families, they might be living with grandparents, their dad might have be away, might have been alcoholic. A lot of them are underprivileged children, but we've been able to get sponsors for over 80 of the children from people in the UK, and every month I'm able to send an amount of support out to Amido so that he can pay the teachers, and we provide meals for the children. We provide two meals a day. They have a porridge for breakfast, they have beans, stew for lunch. As you can see, they've all got these hats on. So a lady over here knitted 70 hats for us to take out for the children. We're able to give them sports for each t-shirts. We're able to share the gospel with them, just spending time with them. They're wonderful, wonderful children, and we're really, really thankful for what the Lord is doing there. And again, it's making a big difference in the community. And one of the pastors, Pastor Kennedy, he goes into the school every Friday and he shares with the children. He's going through a gospel booklet with them that he's been able to get, and he's taking them all through the gospel. So they're all learning about the Lord. How wonderful it would be if all these children from all of these families could be saved and go out and serve. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful place to go. It's called Midan International Vision Academy, and it really is a vision. And here's Jem with one of the little ones. This little boy, he's called Clever. And he really took our hearts. He was amazing. His English was really wonderful. And he's such a bright-eyed, clever little boy. And I believe the Lord has great plans for these children. Oh, if anyone's interested in sponsoring a child or knowing more about the school, I've got a little form here. It's £16 a month. What can you get for that over here? But for that over there, they can get education, they can get fed, and it's life-changing for them. Now, Pastor Amido, I'm on WhatsApp with him, and you'll quite often get a message of a different project that is found and something else that is, you know, he's got a big heart. And they've been out church planting in a place where his sister-in-law was, and on the way they met these people who were, a lot of families who were living in poverty. There were 15 families, and he said, I believe we can help them with the chicken project. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, if we can buy them some chicks and build a little shelter for them, then we can pay them to, they can feed them, it can be their project, and it'll help 15 families. So basically, long story short, we did this. We raised some money at our church just for buying the chicks, buying the feed, building a little shed for them, and this is helping this community. And these women here, many of these women here, they were women of the street. They got saved, they came into church, they've got trouble at home, all of this sort of thing. They've no income now, but this chicken project has helped them. It's given them something so that they can put food on the table for their children. They can take the children to school. They can have a respect, a self-respect. So really thankful for that vision and for the Lord providing for that. So that's a very quick overview of Kenya, what's going on there. Since we've come back from there, Amido wants us to go back again. He wants to do some work in Nairobi and then another area. And it's just keeping up with his vision. That's the thing. We're doing our best. and then just a few weeks after that, in 21st of October, so we've not been back long, we went to Malawi. Now, we've been going there, I think we've been four times, have we? Five times? Something like four times to Malawi. We work with an organisation called Starfish, and they're working the schools in Malawi. So again, just a small team. So Ruth and Sarah, our twin daughters, went with us, and Samuel Sutton, whose father works with us at Sports Reach. So we've all been out to Malawi before. Our girls, we actually took them the first time when they were 7 years old. So it was the first place they went to on mission in Africa. And it's wonderful to be able to go back. And it's really in our hearts too. So we were so touched when we went the first time, because the children have absolutely nothing. I mean, Kenya's poor. The children we work with there are poor. But these in Malawi, they have absolutely nothing. Rags that they're stood up in. I mean, we had to drink bottled water, and all they wanted was our empty bottle so that they could go and fill it. And that was it. And they would fight over an empty bottle. So that was back when we went the first time. Things, I think, have improved slightly now, and which is lovely to see. But very much in our hearts, we love to work out there with the... Now, one thing in Malawi, we went in October, November, it's very, very hot. It was 40 degrees. We were melting, I'm not going to lie. It was exhausting. We didn't do quite as many schools as Kenya, but it was more tiring than Kenya, because you were going... Actually, the schools start a bit earlier in Malawi. So the assembly's at 6:30, so we had to leave at 6 to go to the schools. And we all went together to each school. And the bigger schools, you might get 2,000, 2,500 children. And the schools were so welcoming. We could just take over the whole school for a morning, and we could do the assembly, share the gospel, and sometimes speak with teachers, and then we can do sport with them. So it's an amazing privilege to share, you know, over Kenya. I think we shared with about 13,000 children in Kenya. And in Malawi, it was around 10,000 children you're sharing the gospel with. It's amazing. I mean, I love doing soccer and netball schools here in the UK, and you might get 100, 120 children, and you can share with them. But you go over there, and it's like the Lord saying, cast your net into the deep water and bring in a great amount. And it's phenomenal to see. Such a privilege. Again, we took a lot with us. We were heavy laden when we went out and very light when we came back. Every school, they love to get a football and a netball so that they can play. So they don't even have those facilities there. And at every school we went to, we played football against the school team, and we played netball against the school netball team, which was wonderful in 40 degree heat. It was amazing. And so here we are, like the netball courts varied in quality and size, but there was so much excitement. You can see the children, the whole school would come and line around the football field and the netball court, and one football field, if a goal was scored, all of the children from the school ran on, and there was dust flying everywhere, and they were hugging and dancing and singing. And so there were maybe two or three goals in the football match. But if you imagine a netball match, you get in 20 goals. Half of the time is getting the children on and off the court. But wonderful, fun times, and just to be able to share the Lord with them was wonderful. So during the week, we went into the schools, we gave them the kit. On the Saturday, we brought the separate schools together and had a tournament. So these guys are all in kit that we were able to take out for them. And we brought them together and ran a tournament. And the netball teams and the football teams and the winners were able to give some more kit to, and also John's Gospels. On the Sunday, we went into Pastor Bornwell's church. Bornwell, he works for Starfish organisation, and he has started this small church in a small community. It's just 2 years that he's been there, and the Lord showed him this is where I want to build a church, because I want to reach the you know, he said, you can have a big church on the edge of the village and people are not going to come. Go to where the people are and the people come in. And the people are coming in. It's full of children, full of babies. Ruth and Sarah and Samuel, they spoke to the Sunday school outside. I shared testimony inside, and then Will spoke. And at the end of the message, there were so many people responding to what the Lord was doing that morning. It was wonderful. Also, we went into a place in Salima, in the town of Salima. There's a school that's got, I think there's 4,000 in the school, but as a small part of that school is this little blind community. They live there, they learn there, and they're well cared for, and so we're able to share with them. We first went there many years ago, and we were overwhelmed when this group of blind children started singing praises to God in like a 4- and 5-part harmony. It was absolutely, it blew us away. What they were singing, when I get to heaven, I'm going to put on my robe, I'm going to walk all over God's heaven. And these children have nothing in this world. They're, you know, there's albinos there, there's blind children, they're the outcasts in society, but they're being able to be cared for, and they can have the vision of going to see the Lord one day. How wonderful. He may be the first person they ever see, might be the Lord Jesus. Wow. We went to this orphanage feeding program. We had some good fun times with those 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, about 150 children there who were cared for. And we also went to Salima Hospital. So our daughter Sarah, she is a neonatal nurse in Preston Hospital, and she'd been given a lot of neonatal clothes, a lot of tiny, tiny clothes. And so we said, can we go to the hospital and see the unit there? And so we met some lovely people, and they took us around every bed, all these tiny little babies. There was triplets, there was twins. And Sarah was in her element, and we ought to give them some of the clothes. And Pastor Alec Passmore, do you know Alec Passmore? Yeah. So he'd given me a load of crocheted blankets. He said, are these any good for you to take out? And they were, and they were very well received. So a wonderful time ministering in many different parts of Salima in Malawi. Like I say, it was very tiring. I'm not sure if I should show this picture, but Will's left it in. So every lunchtime we came back, because we were exhausted, and we came back, had a shower, had a drink, had a rest, went out to the next school, came back in the evening, tired and rejoicing in what the Lord was doing, and it was absolutely exhausting. So the team, if ever you closed your eyes, you can be sure that the rest of the team had come round and get a selfie with you. Yeah. So there are several pictures of selfies, not just with Will, but from the rising of the sun to its going down, may the Lord's name be praised. And it's been wonderful to be able to go and to be a part of what he's doing over there. And I'll just show you a little video clip, which maybe will bring it to life a little bit more, and then I'll hand over to Will. But thank you again for your prayers.
Thank you, Sarah. Now, it's very moving whenever we see the pictures, but also the video. It's always moving. It's always great to see what God's doing, and just to see the smiling faces. You know, when we do go to Kenya, you're casting in. We're sowing the seed. That's all we're called to do. We're not called to do anything different. We're called to sow the seed, to be obedient to God's calling. And it's very much like the parable of the sower. We've no control of, you know, the soil the seed lands in, but the seed's always God's seed. It's always perfect. It's always powerful. And when we go to the schools, in particular, you're speaking to hundreds and thousands of children, you're sowing that seed, and you're so many raise their hands wanting to respond and to pray to receive Jesus. You know, we see the outside, we don't know the hearts, we don't know what's going on inside, but you'll see some, they'll be praying it, and you'll see some, and they're just totally abandoned to God. And there was one or two that you saw on there that there's just, you know, they're praying it from the hearts. And particularly this last time we were there, and Ruth's putting a new video clip together from the last trip, there was a young boy, and it didn't matter to him that he was in a crowd of people. You could just tell that it was just like just him and God, and he was just abandoned with arms up and praying full bore, as we would say, you know, to the Lord. And it's great to see. It's quite amusing watching some of the clips as well. I don't know whether you noticed, there was one just towards the end where Sue was leading the children in prayer. She was stood there in t-shirt and shorts with a hand up, and next to her was the pastor, and he was translating, and he was, you know, following on with the prayer, and he was in his coat. And it is funny how we go and wearing t-shirt and shorts, and we're so hot, and they're wearing coats and woolly hats. But I do have to say, in Malawi this time, even the pastor said, "This is hot for us." And we would be eating our meal, and he would get up, and you think, where's he going? And he'd go into the living room and be stood there in front of the fan for a minute and come back after he'd cooled down. But what a blessing, what a privilege to be able to take the word of God. And not just, you know, overseas, but to this country. And as Sue mentioned, we've had 10 soccer and netball schools that ran in the holidays this last time. And quite a lot of the soccer schools with record numbers. And whether that's as a knock-on from, you know, after COVID, that people are keener to get the children involved in doing things. But we've had record numbers, and we've had wonderful blessings with particularly a church down south that we work with. And we work with an older group there as well. So alongside the normal 7 to 14-year-old group, we've got a 15 to 17-year-old group of young people that we're working with, and with over 25 in that group this time. And God really broke through into that group. There were at least, I think it was the 3 made recommitments, and there was 3 or 4 made first-time commitments. And one of them was actually sharing testimony yesterday morning with her peers in the netball that they run at that church every Saturday morning. So it's been fantastic to see God at work.
I wonder if you just tell them about our venue.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we were invited by a missionary friend to go to Albania, and that was not this year. That was last year in, was it May? And the reason he got in touch was because he knew that we were a football ministry, and he's involved in a football ministry, but he knew also that we had ladies who played football, and he got in touch and he said, "Would you consider coming to Albania?" He said, "In Albania was the Afghan ladies' national football team, and they'd had to flee from Afghanistan. There was also families and being put up in a hotel in Albania was a large number of people from Afghanistan. The girls had to flee because they're not allowed to play sport in Afghanistan. The Taliban won't allow it, and if they remained, they were in danger of being put to death. And in fact, one of the teammates had already been put to death. And we went over, there was Sue and myself, 2 of our daughters went, and a friend. And we went out there to engage with them and to play them at football, but also to share the gospel with them. And we got amazing opportunities to do that. There was, an encouragement of how God's a personal God. You know, we picked the team up, we took them in a coach to a football area, and it was an indoor football area, 4G, and when we got there, one of the girls, one of the coaches came and said, "Will you come and talk to one of the girls? She's in tears." So Sue and the others went into the changing room to talk to this girl. And she was in tears because that was the first time she'd seen a football pitch since she'd left Afghanistan and had to flee. And so Sue and the girls were talking with her. And obviously, you know, we hadn't taken a full team out, and it was only small-sided football, but they needed one or two to make up the English team out there. And so Sue said to this girl, would you play? Would you be on our team? And she said, yes. So we hadn't taken a full football kit out. Sue had just picked various shirts according to the sizes mainly to take out with us. And she picked out this shirt and gave it to this girl and said, would you like to wear this shirt and play for us? And the girl looked at the shirt and she burst out into tears. It was, had a number 2 on the back. She says, that's my number. That's the number that I wear when I'm in Afghanistan. And, you know, we didn't know that, but we have a Heavenly Father who did know that. And Sue was able to share, and she was able to share testimony and offered Bibles, offered her booklet about how she went through cancer. And the coach came, took all of them off and started giving them out to all the girls, and with pictures of them sat there reading. You know, we don't know. Some of them, I think, have moved on. They were wanting them to move on as a team, and I think they were going to go to America. But amazing that, you know, that we got that opportunity. We met a guy there as well, Muslim guy. We had amazing conversations with him. He'd also had to flee. He was a football coach in Afghanistan. His children were in London with his brother. And he asked us, would we take a suitcase for him and get it back to his family? We brought this suitcase back. We're in the north of England. They're based in London. We went and we ran a soccer school in London. So I said to Sue, we should, you know, we're there for a week or nearly a week. We might be able to connect with his brother. So we got in touch. His brother came along to pick up the suitcase. But also Sue said, we're running a soccer netball school. Would your children be interested in coming? And so 3 of his children came, didn't they? And took part in the soccer school over the week. The little boy, I think he would be 8, 9. He played football and usually played football on the Saturday and Sunday. But he said, I'm not going to my normal football. I want to go to this on the Saturday. He wanted to be in the church on the Sunday at the awards service. And, you know, that connection came because of a suitcase. And I was absolutely amazed on the Sunday morning that the 2 teenage girls were stood there, and it's almost like, you know, pinch me to wake me up. It's like, you know, we've been ministering with a Muslim family in Afghanistan, in Albania, that had come from Afghanistan. Their children are in London, and that Sunday morning, their children were stood there in church, and they were singing and praising, you know, with everybody else. And that was absolutely incredible to see. So thank you. Thank you for your prayers. I hope you're encouraged. God is at work. God is at work. And I think if I remember rightly, we send prayer letters through to you, Jeff, I think, do we? We do email prayer letters. There'll be some coming through the post soon, but we do email monthly as well. If you'd like to receive those, see me and I'll try and get you signed up this morning. But I just want us to read some verses from Colossians, and Colossians chapter 2, and just a few verses from verse 6. I'm conscious that, as we would say in Kenya, time is not on our side. Colossians 2, chapter 6. Sorry, Colossians 2, verse 6. And Paul writes and he says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. I don't know whether you can cast your minds back a couple of years ago, around about this time of year it was, there was something that swept through the country by the name of Storm Arwen. It's interesting, isn't it, how we name our storms now, or the weathermen name the storms. But it happened on a Friday evening, and it was very, very wild. There was a lot of damage caused on the Friday evening and on the Saturday morning. And so much disruption that was caused, a lot of devastation in the area, and it was the worst storm damage for 20 years. A lot of trees blown down, roads were blocked and things like that. Well, we were at home that night, and we actually had gone to bed, and about 11:30, we'd just drifting off to sleep, and the phone rang. Now, it's never good, is it, when the phone rings at that time of night? It's always, you know, you wake up with a start, what on earth is happening, what's going on? And it was our daughter, our eldest daughter, on the phone. She'd been to Lancaster, which is only a 20-minute drive normally, to see her fiancé, and she was driving home. And as she'd been coming home, she knew that it was quite wild, the weather, but she's coming home and just coming the normal way. And all of a sudden, she came across a tree across the road, and there was no way round it. So she thought, well, no problem. You know, there's more than one way to get back home. So she headed off down the other way and came across a tree. So she turned around again and thought, well, I'll try this different route. And as she's heading down this different route, what did she come across? No, she came across a trampoline that had been blown into the road. She went round the trampoline and then came across a tree. And at this point, she's running low on fuel. Her battery on her phone was running out, and she was running out of ideas for which way to get home. So she rang home. And Sue answered the phone, and I got the gist of the conversation from Sue's side. And so while Sue's talking to her and saying, okay, well, try this way, I was getting dressed and heading out the door. Now, one of the beauties of living on a farm was we have a tractor. So, and the tractor has a what we call a front-end loader. So I thought, well, there's no point going in the car. I'll go on the tractor. And another advantage I have is I have a chainsaw. So the chainsaw went on the tractor with me. And I knew from what Sue had been saying which direction she was sending Jennifer to come. So I set off to go that way. Got so far and I thought, well, that's great. It's clear. And as I was going round this particular corner, I remember hearing something behind me. And I didn't stop to look what it was. But I heard a big noise behind me. I thought, wow, it's wild tonight. Kept going, and round the next corner, I met Jennifer coming in the car. And I thought, oh, great. She's going to be home safe and sound. She didn't realise it was me, so kept going. I turned round and started following her. Came round the corner, could see the hazard lights on. I thought, oh, no, she's run out of fuel. But as I came closer, I saw why she'd stopped. And I realised what the crashing noise was that I'd heard. And it was a big, big tree right across the road. And it must have come down right behind. I'm glad that it didn't come down on me. But it must have come just as I'd gone past this tree. It had actually snapped off so far up and come crashing down onto the road. And there was no way. I couldn't move it with my tractor, even though I had a Massey Ferguson tractor, which is the best sort. I couldn't move it. And so when there, and Jennifer was actually on the phone to Sue, saying there's a tree, I can't get this way. And I went and knocked on the door, on the window, and said, Jen, I said, we need to move quick. I said, you can't stay here because it's not safe with these trees. I said, follow me. And she turned around and she began to follow me. And it took two or three different ways. I tried two or three different ways where we come up against trees, we couldn't move. At one point, I thought, well, this is ridiculous. So I'm there with my chainsaw cutting through some of these trees, pushing them out of the way so that we could get home. It started snowing. And eventually, I think it was about 1:30 in the morning, much to Sue's relief, we arrived home safe and sound. But you know, I began to think about storms. And you know how, you know, we experience physical storms, don't we? Like storm we've had, was it Babette or something not long since? And We experience those storms in the weather, but we experience storms in our lives, don't we? And when storms come, you know, it's quite interesting. What is our trust in? What is our hope in? What are our roots in? Because that can often be the difference between whether we stand or whether we fall. And, you know, we see storms that come in people's lives. You know, financial crashes. And if our roots are in our finances, then they come to nothing. People can lose their jobs, they can lose their homes, their material possessions. And those things that are tough, it's hard to go through. There can be a storm of health, and, you know, we know only too well of how, you know, pandemics can affect society. Who would have thought that the world would grind to a halt as quickly as it did when COVID came? And I began to think, what are our roots in when the storm comes? And it led me to look at these verses where Paul says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. What are our roots in? And the first thing that I think what Paul is saying here is that we need to start right. We need to start right to get the foundation right, to get our roots into the right place. He says, as you therefore have received Christ. Have you received Christ? Do you know Christ as your Lord and Saviour? It was mentioned before that, you know, he's the stone that's been rejected, but he's the stone that we need to build our lives upon, the foundation, the one that we need to get our roots into. You know, we talk about receiving Christ. What does that mean? You know, sometimes you'll talk to people and they'll say, well, I believe in God, and I've no doubt that they believe in God, but there's a difference between believing in or believing that God exists and believing in him and receiving him. You see, Paul's talking here to the Colossian church, and he's saying, as you have received Christ. And Paul had been, he'd preached the gospel, he knew that there were those there who had received Christ. Their lives had been transformed because they received the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean? What do we receive? Well, we read it later on. It was read to us by our brother in Ephesians. What do we receive? Every spiritual blessing. What do we receive? We receive him. We receive a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to live within us, to transform us. You know, I should have brought one with me, but I sometimes do an illustration with a glove. You know, the glove, it's made with a purpose, and that's to fit a hand. It's made in the image of a hand. But without the hand, it's lifeless. And you and I are made in the image of God. We're made with a purpose, and that's for him to live in us and through us. Without him, we're dead. We're lifeless. We may be physically alive, but we're dead in trespasses and sins. But when we receive Christ, we receive life. You know, we were dead in trespasses and sins, but you, he has made alive in Christ Jesus. And we were reminded in that verse that you read to us about, you know, he raised Christ from the dead. You know, he can do anything with us. When we receive him, when we're in him, when we've begun right, when we've begun, and we have to begin at the foot of the cross, there's got to be that transformation, being born again and coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, as you have therefore received Christ, so walk in him. Again, what does that mean? Well, we receive Christ by faith and we walk in him by faith. We don't know him physically walking alongside us, but because we've received him, because he's come to live within us, then we walk by faith, we walk in him by faith, because wherever we go, he goes with us, because he's living within us. We've received him. And so we don't need to beg God to be with us. We simply say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that wherever I go today, you're with me, because I've received you and you're living in me and through me. We don't need to beg him for strength, because he's promised to give us all the strength that we need, because in him, in Christ, we have every spiritual blessing. It says in verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. What do we need other than Jesus? Nothing. You know, is there anything that we need to add? And Paul battled with this with some of the churches, the Galatians, because they taught a Christ plus gospel. They taught, yes, you need Christ, but you need the law. Yes, you need Christ, but you need circumcision. Yes, you need Christ, but you need this. Paul says, in him you're complete. When you receive him, you need nothing more, because you're complete in him. When you receive him, you're complete, because you receive every spiritual blessing in Christ. You're made alive. So we walk with him by faith. When you walk with someone, it indicates a relationship, doesn't it? You know, it's changed a lot, because it used to be, well, you know, so-and-so is out walking with so-and-so. You know, we know that. Well, that meant, well, you know, there's a relationship being built here. There's something going on. Now it's messaging. You know, the texting. And that seems to be the talk now. But when you walk with someone, it indicates a relationship. It indicates that you're going the same way. And when we receive him, we have a relationship with him. When we receive him and we walk with him, we're going his way, not our way. And there's some lovely pictures in Scripture. Amos, can two walk together except they are agreed? And one of my favorite, Enoch, walked with God and was not, because God took him. What a fantastic thing that would be to have said of our lives, that we walked with God. And Paul says, as you receive Christ Jesus, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. And you know, in Scripture, we sort of get this picture, don't we, of believers as trees. You know, we're rooted, and trees are rooted. In Psalm 1, it talks about the man, and it says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Let me just turn to it. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, that signifies to me that he's been chosen and put in a certain place. You know, I don't know whether any of you are gardeners. But you know, if you're a gardener, you choose what plant you want and where you want it, and you put it where you want it. It's chosen, it's planted, it's established. You know, the self-sets, like the weeds, are the things that you pull out. You don't want them there. And you know, when we are rooted and built up in him, we'll be like a tree, chosen and planted. Planted where God wants us to be, in a certain place for a certain reason and time. Psalm 91, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall still be fresh and flourishing. And Jeremiah talks about, again, chapter 17, the ones who trust in God, and how they should be like a tree planted with roots green and fruitful. And being planted, it speaks of a permanence, put in a specific place. It speaks of flourishing. You know, once planted, the roots begin to go down, and they need to go down, to grow down. And for us to be rooted, our roots need to begin to go down deeper into Christ, to put our roots down deep into him. You see, when the roots go down, they receive the nutrients that they need. And then the plant begins to grow. You know, we mentioned the parable of the sower. You know, the seed was sown. It was the same seed. The ground was, I believe, the same ground, but there was different things with it. It was hard. It needed to be broken. It was rocky. The rocks needed to be removed. It was possessed because the plants, the thorns grew up with it. But there was also the good soil. And, you know, as those, the problem was that the roots couldn't get down. The seed was sown, but the roots couldn't get down. And we need to get the roots so that we grow down into Christ, so that we draw from him. And one thing we noticed with the storm was there were some tremendous big, amazing trees fell flat because the roots were shallow. The roots weren't deep. And there were some big trees near us that, you know, I'm not a tree hugger, but you'd struggle to get your arms round the tree. They were so strong and so tall, and yet they came crashing down because the roots were so shallow. You know, if our roots aren't deep in Christ, then when the storms come, we'll fall flat. But if our roots are deep in Christ, then I believe we'll stand strong in the storm. And I saw one or two trees that were different. Their roots were so strong that the base of the tree wasn't moved. But what had happened was they cracked off halfway up. And that was a picture to me of those who are so strong in their faith. Their roots are so deep into Christ that no matter how strong the storm is, the roots will never be moved. Even if the tree breaks in two. You know, it reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego as they face the fiery furnace. Our God is able. But even if, he's still God. Have we got that faith? Are our roots down into Christ so much that yes, we know that our God is able to deliver? But even if he doesn't, he's still God. He's still in control. You know, I just want to finish with Jen's viewpoint. Because she would share the account of that night slightly different to me. And she would share how she was on her way home and she knew that it was wild, she knew that it was rough. And even though she came across two or three obstacles, she still thought, okay, well, I can work my way out. I can get out of this. I can get home. And how she realized more and more her own efforts, her own ways, weren't going to get her home. She needed help. And of how she turned to ring Sue and myself for help. And that when she realized that it was me on the tractor that she'd passed, and that I arrived, that all of a sudden her perspective changed. It wasn't about what she needed to do. It was about the fact that I was there. And when I said, Jen, follow me, I'll get you home. That she knew that I would lead her safely home. And she said, I knew that my dad was there. That my dad loved me. And that my dad would do all that was needed to get me safely home. That he would lead me through the difficulties. That he would lead me through the storm until we were safe at home. And I thought, what a wonderful picture of our Heavenly Father. When we're rooted and grounded in him, built up in him. You know, difficulties come and they do. We're not exempt from it. We're not immune from what the world will throw at us. We're not immune from health issues and things like that. But we've got a Heavenly Father who, no matter what happens, if we keep our eyes fixed upon him, he will lead us. He will lead us through the storm. Sometimes he chooses to deliver us from the storm. And amen, it's fantastic when that happens. But sometimes he goes through the storm with us. But he loves us. He'll never leave us. He'll never abandon us. And he will do, and he's already done, all that's needed when we look at the cross. He's done all that is needed when he gave his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on that cross. Why? To lead us safely home. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, there's so much more that we could open up. There's so much more that we could share. But we thank you that we can be rooted and grounded in you, that we can, what an amazing thing to think, we can receive the Lord Jesus Christ and enter into that relationship with him, that we can receive all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that we are made complete in Christ, nothing more. And we thank you that you walk through this life with us. You've promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And one day, we're going to be safely home in glory because of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.